This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 16th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, Amy Guida in Legal Issues in the News talks about censorship in the school library. Also get a forecast for the week ahead from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. Those involved in state budget negotiations in Springfield say it might take the threat of a government shutdown now to get a deal. Sean Crawford reports.
Illinois state government can pay its bills and employees through the end of this month. That's thanks to a temporary spending plan already in place. But what happens when that plan expires? Senate Republican leader Frank Watson says if there's no agreement on a full-year budget, a showdown is likely.
There's just constantly more and more people saying, why should we vote for another one-month budget? I mean, I'm not for shutting state government down, but to bring some sort of conclusion to this, some people think that may be the only solution.
August, in many ways, is a more important month when it comes to state spending. Payments to school districts begin going out, and without them, schools could face a hardship. Meetings to break the budget logjam are continuing, with discussions centering on gambling as a way to raise more revenue. The governor and legislative leaders have been at odds over how to raise money and how to spend it. The legislature has been in overtime since the start of June. I'm Sean Crawford.
Part of the holdup on a new state budget is Governor Blagojevich's insistence that a spending plan include health care expansion. But ironically, the governor's holding off on signing a measure that would bring help to Illinois' hospitals. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
The federal government made a deal in which it would give Illinois $1.2 billion to go to poor hospitals that serve mostly patients on Medicaid. But the hospitals promised the money are still waiting for it. And according to State Senator Jeff Schoenberg, politics is to blame.
What has unfortunately occurred on this, as well as many other issues over these past several weeks, is that political maneuvering has unfortunately trumped some very basic needs that people have.
First, unrelated squabbling made lawmakers slow to pass a measure approving getting the money to the hospitals. They finally passed it, but tucked in the legislation a pay raise for themselves, the governor, and other state officials. Many presume that's why Governor Blagojevich has not signed the proposal into law. On one hand, Blagojevich would like to avoid the politically unpopular step of okaying the raises, but he may not want to veto them either, because the governor's ally during budget talks has been the president of the state Senate, who wants the pay hikes. Blagojevich's office won't comment on the reason for the holdup. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Opponents of the Army's shipments of nerve agent waste from Indiana to Texas will ask a federal judge today to order a halt to the trucks. They contend that the liquid waste poses an imminent threat to public health and is more toxic than the Army claims. A federal judge in Indianapolis has set aside 3 days to hear testimony from witnesses of the Army and environmental and activist groups. The hearing comes about a month after the Army agreed to suspend the shipments from Vermilion County, Indiana, to Port Arthur, Texas, until the judge decides whether to block the transfers of the waste created by the destruction of the deadly nerve agent. The VX is being destroyed at chemical reactors at Newport. Indiana's Richard Lugar and other senators are trying to get President Bush to change course in Iraq. They resume their maneuvering today. As senators debate a Pentagon spending bill, Democrats are seeking to force withdrawal by next spring. But Lugar and fellow Republican John Warner of Virginia have proposed simply narrowing the mission of the troops. They say the proposal asks that President Bush start thinking now about different options and to seek to boost diplomacy. They cited an overstretched military and growing terrorist threats around the world. Yet even that limited change is called premature by White House National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley, who said on ABC's This Week yesterday that the time to begin that process is September. The state of Illinois hopes to lower the hefty price tag for fuel-efficient hybrid cars. Today, the state begins offering tax rebates of $1,000 for each new hybrid purchased in Illinois. State Treasurer Alexi Giannulia says consumer and environmental groups helped him get the program started.
People are thrilled with the notion that the state can do its part to help with people who are close to buying a hybrid, and hopefully this incentive will push them over the edge and encourage them to take a larger role in helping clean up our environment.
Some of Illinois' largest environmental groups applaud the program, though they hope that consumers choose hybrids with the highest fuel efficiency. Some hybrids get less than 20 miles a gallon, while others can top 50 a gallon. Illinois' hybrid tax rebate is available only to buyers who secure car loans from participating lenders. Two teenage girls in a stolen car led police on a high-speed chase last week through Coles and Cumberland counties at speeds of up to 100 miles an hour. Authorities say the girls, ages 16 and 15, also stole $37 in gas and crashed into another car before they led police on a short chase Thursday. The driver was identified as a 16-year-old from Essex in Kankakee County. Mattoon police cited her for leaving the scene of an accident, aggravated fleeing and eluding, and reckless driving. Her passenger was a 15-year-old from Peoria. Nobody was hurt. The two girls are being cited as juveniles. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. There may not be a courtroom in Hogwarts, but Harry Potter is learning his way around the legal system. Commentator Amy Guida talks about book bans, constitutional freedoms, and a boy wizard in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
My kids have read all 5, soon to be 6, Harry Potter books. I, on the other hand, haven't read a single word of Harry Potter, which is why I would like to, but can't hide within this any Harry Potter insider puns. It's also why I can't directly attack those who would ban the Harry Potter series from library shelves and schools. Given my unquestioning acceptance of my children's reading choices, however, you can guess how I feel about such bans. I'm clearly in the majority, given the popularity of the books, but there's a vocal minority. The American Library Association reports that the Harry Potter books are the most frequently challenged books in the 21st century so far. People challenge them and argue that they shouldn't be available to just anyone in school libraries, the ALA reports, because of the book's focus on wizardry and magic. A challenge like that led to Harry Potter's visit to an Arkansas courtroom. The school district in Cedarville, Arkansas, voted a few years ago 3-2 to restrict access to the Harry Potter books. That meant that school librarians had to take the books off the shelves and allow only students with the parents' permission to access the books. A student, through her parents, sued, arguing that such restrictions violated students' constitutional rights. The court used a First Amendment analysis in its decision. First, finding that such a restriction, forcing her to ask first her parents and then a librarian for the book, disadvantaged her and other students. Too burdensome, the court decided. Stigmatizing, too. Those opposed to the books argue that such restrictions were justified, even under a First Amendment analysis. Harry Potter would help lead the kids into juvenile delinquency, they told the court. Keeping Harry Potter off the shelves would help keep order and prevent anarchy in the schools. Limiting access, they said, would help prevent another Columbine. Makes me wonder what I'm missing. The court in the end found no merit in the order, anarchy, delinquency arguments. It wrote that the school board members' concerns were speculative, and it found the restrictions unconstitutional. So just 2 months before the 5th book hit store shelves, the judge ordered the school district to put an end to Potter permission slips and to return the Harry Potter books to school shelves. And there the books have remained. The school board attorney's office decided not to appeal the judge's decision. But now that this summer brings another Harry Potter book and a frenzy of renewed interest in reading, expect additional challenges, maybe even some that hit the courts. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows may be the final book in the Harry Potter series, but likely won't end the challenges. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Heat and humidity will build throughout the two-state area through the course of this week. We're going to start seeing it, well, maybe as early as tomorrow. Really nice forecast for today, although southern Illinois will see a high temperature of around 93 degrees. In northwest and west-central Illinois today, partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, mainly this afternoon. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, less of a chance of a scattered shower or thunderstorm. The highs today ranging from 82 in northwest Illinois to 93 in southern Illinois. Mike Sola says for tonight, in northern and central sections of the two states, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In the south, partly cloudy, and lows ranging from around 60 in northeast Indiana to 70 in southwest Illinois. For tomorrow, in northeast Illinois and in northern Indiana, partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, though, partly sunny and a slight chance again of a few scattered showers or thunderstorms. And highs tomorrow ranging from around 80 in northern Indiana to 95 in southwest Illinois. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, July 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, WILL.UIUC.EDU. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.